You Forever by Tuesday Love Sang Rampa, read to you by Blue Friend, September 2016. Lesson 29. In our last lesson, we dealt with the method of getting ourselves into the trance state. Now we have to practice that several times. We can make it much easier for ourselves if we really practice so that we can get into the trance state easily without having to make hard labor of it, because the whole point of this is to save one hard labor. Let us also look at the reason for this. You want to hypnotize yourself so that you can eliminate certain faults, so that you may strengthen certain virtues and certain abilities. Now, what are those faults? What are those abilities? You must be able to focus the faults and the virtues clearly. You have to be able to really conjure up a picture of yourself as you want to be. Are you weak-willed? Then picture yourself exactly as you want yourself to be, with a strong will and a dominant personality, able to get over your points, able to sway men and women in the way that you want to sway them. Keep on thinking of this new you. Keep the picture of this you steadily before you in much the same way as an actor, a star, actually lives the part he's going to play. You must use your full powers of visualization. The more firmly you can visualize yourself as you want to be, then the more quickly you can attain your objective. Keep on practicing, putting yourself in a trance, but always make sure that you are practicing in a quiet, darkened room. There is no danger in any of this. We stress that you should make sure that you're not interrupted, because any interruption or draft of cold air, for instance, will cause you to wake up, cause you to snap out of that trance in a hurry. There is no danger, we repeat. It is definitely not possible for you to hypnotize yourself and fail to come out of the trance. To reassure you, let us take a typical case. The patient has had a lot of practice. He goes to his darkened room, switches on the little neon light just above the eyebrow level, and composes himself comfortably upon his bed or his couch. For some moments he works at getting the body relaxed, free from stresses and strains. Soon he feels a wonderful sensation stealing over him, as if all the weight of the body, all the cares of the body, are dropping off, and he is about to enter a new life. He relaxes more and more, leisurely reaching out with his mind to see if there's any muscle under tension, to see if there's any twitch, any ache, any strain, anywhere. Satisfied that he is completely relaxed, he gazes steadily at the little neon light. His eyes are not pointed straight ahead, but are inclined upwards somewhat toward his eyebrows. Soon his eyelids begin to feel heavy. They flutter a little and then close, only for a second or two. They flutter open again. There's some moisture. His eyes are watering. They flutter and tremble and close again. Once more they open, with difficulty this time, for the eyes are tired, the lids are heavy, and the person is almost in deep trance. Within a second or so, the lids close, and this time they stay tight. tightly closed. The body relaxes even more. The breathing becomes shallow. The patient, or the subject, call him what you will, is in the trance stage. Now, let us leave him for a moment. What he is doing in that trance is of no concern of ours, because we can go into a trance ourselves and have our own experiences. Let us leave him in the trance stage until he has completed that for which he went into the trance. He was doing an experiment, it seems, to see how deeply he could hypnotize himself, to see how firmly he could stay asleep. He deliberately tried to set aside one of the provisions of nature because, he told himself, if he was not going to wake up. Minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes pass. The breathing changes and the subject is no longer in a trance, but is in a sound sleep. After half an hour or so, he awakens, feeling wondrously refreshed, more refreshed indeed than after a complete night's sleep. You cannot fail to awaken out of a trance. Nature will not allow it. The subconscious is like a rather dim giant, a giant with dim intellect. For a time, you can persuade him anything you like, but after a time, it dawns upon this dim giant that he is having his leg pulled, and he snaps out of the hypnotic state. We repeat again that you cannot put yourself to sleep in any way which would cause you harm or even discomfort. You are utterly safe, because you will have hypnotized yourself and not be at the mercy of another person's suggestions. We said before that a draft of cold air would awaken a person, and that is so. No matter how deep the trance, if there is a change of temperature or anything which might possibly in any way ever harm the body, the trance passes. So it is that if you are in a trance and someone in the house opens a door or a window so that a draft of air comes upon you, perhaps under the door or through the keyhole, you will be awakened safely, painlessly, and then you will have the trouble of starting all over again. That is why you should avoid all drafts and disturbances. At all times, you will have to stress the virtues that you want to acquire. You will have to stress that you are getting rid of the things that you do not admire, and for some days as you walk about, you will have to actively visualize the abilities which you do want. You will tell yourself time after time throughout the day that at such and such a time, preferably at night, you're going to hypnotize yourself, and each time you go into the trance, the desired virtues will appear more strongly in you. As you go into your trance, repeat within your mind that which you desire. Just a simple, perhaps silly little illustration. Let us say that a man stoops, perhaps because he's too lazy to stand upright. Let him say repeatedly, "I will stand upright. I will stand upright. I will stand upright." The point is, again, that you must repeat this quickly, time after time, with no break in between, because if you do permit a break, your friendly subconscious might come in and say, Oh, you never tell the truth. You stoop like anything. If you repeat it without giving a break, friend subconscious hasn't got a chance. He becomes overwhelmed by the weight of words and soon believes that you stand straight. If he does believe that, your muscles will tighten and you will stand straight, just as you want. Do you smoke too much, drink too much? It's bad for the health if carried to excess, you know. Why not use hypnotism to cure yourself, to save your pocketbook from the constant depletion of what are, after all, rather childish habits? You have only to convince your subconscious that you dislike smoking and you will stop smoking without a single pang, without a single thought of smoking. People cannot give up smoking. It's a habit which is extremely hard to break. No doubt you've heard that time after time. A smoker cannot give up his or her pipe or cigarette. Everyone tells you so. Advertisements in the paper bring to your attention various so-called remedies for stopping smoking, stopping this or stopping that. Does it not occur to you that all this is in itself a form of hypnosis? You cannot stop smoking because you believe what you've been told by other people and by the advertisements to the effect that to stop smoking is almost impossible. Turn that hypnotism to your own use. You are different from the common herd. You have a strong character. You are dominant. You can cure yourself of smoking or drinking or whatever it is you desire to cure. Just as hypnotism, unconscious hypnotism, made you believe that you couldn't break the smoking habit, so, when you're aware of this, your conscious hypnotism can make it so that you never touch another cigarette. A word of warning, though, or might it even be called friendly advice? Are you sure you want to give up smoking? Are you sure you want to give up drinking or always being late for appointments? You cannot do anything until you are sure. You must be certain that you want to give up smoking or that you want to do this or that. It is not enough to be a very weak man and say, "Oh, I wish I could give up smoking. Let me tell myself that I will." Again and again, until it sinks into your subconscious, you can only do that which you really want to do. So that, if you more or less dare yourself not to give up smoking, then you will not give up smoking. You might even smoke more. Examine yourself closely. What do you want to do really? There is no one about, no one looking over your shoulder, no one peering into your mind. Do you really want to give up smoking? Or do you prefer to go on smoking? And is your statement that you want to give up just so much waste of words? Once you are completely convinced that you do want a thing, you can have it. Do not blame hypnotism or anything but yourself if you fail to get what you want, because if you do fail, then it means this and only this. Failure means that you were not really strong in your resolution to do this or not do that. By self-hypnosis, you can cure yourself of those things which some people refer to as bad habits. Unfortunately, we've never been able to discover what these bad habits were, so we can shed no more light on that particular subject. We will consider bad habits to include baiting your wife, or throwing the iron at your husband, or kicking the dog, swearing at someone without reason, or getting drunk. And all these things can be cured so very easily, provided one definitely wants to. Let yourself relax a few times. Take advantage of freedom from inner tension to build up your own nervous energy. You can do so much to improve your health if you will only read and reread this lesson and the one before, and practice, practice, practice. Even the greatest musicians practice scales and notes hour after hour, day after day. That is why they are great musicians. You can be a great self-hypnotist if you do as we say. So, practice. End of lesson 29.